بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله ذا فضل كرم فالله سبحانه وتعالى we had commenced last week a topic on mort death the reality of mort the condition of mort how mort comes to a believer how the angels come down to take away the ruh of a believer with ease and comfort we mentioned how they then ascend the skies and they are rejoicing they are in a state of ecstasy how they carry the soul First, they extract it, وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى Very easily, they remove the soul of the believer and they bring perfume, fragrance, musk and a very beautiful kafan. Then they carry the soul and how they address the soul, يَا وَلِيَ اللَّهِ O friend of Allah. And we discuss also the disbeliever, how the angels come and extract that person's soul very harshly, very vehemently, with great force, pull out, extract the ruh of this disbeliever, one who rejected Allah Ta'ala. And various other things we had discussed last week, we'll continue inshallah with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned, either it was Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, or Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala or Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala. All these three people's names have been mentioned in the kitab, but most of them have mentioned it is the saying of Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. And what did he say? He said, ثَلَاثٌ أَعْجَبَتْنِي حَتَّى أَضْحَكَتْنِي He says, when I looked at three things, I was quite astonished, bewildered, When I pondered, I looked at these three things and I said that these three things actually make me laugh. When he looked at the folly of these things, he says that these three things make me laugh. And then he says, I looked at three things, they pleased me. I looked at three things, they made me so overtaken and gripped with sadness. That I became so sad and distressed. So he says, what's the first three things that when I pondered, when I reflected, I looked at these three things, it actually made me laugh. Number one is مُؤَمِّلُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْمَوْتُ يَطْلُبُهُ One who ponders over the dunya. One who مُؤَمِّل actually means Pondering the sense that the person just has high hopes. He has a lot of aspirations. Amalun, last week we explained, Amal in Arabic, Alif, Mim, Lam. Amal means to have hopes, desires. I will do this, I will invest, I will in the future build so much, I will gather so much. Person has deep aspirations. So a person has so much of aspiration in the dunya. I will do that, I will do this. In another 20 years time, I would have accumulated so much. In 30 years time, so much returns on such investments. For dunya, Allah Ta'ala has not made it haram that a person should earn a halal rozi and have sufficient amount for his wife and children. In fact, in hadith it is mentioned, do not leave your children, family, do not leave them as beggars. يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ That they had to stretch out their hands to people. No. Leave them sufficiently equipped. It does not mean you have made such big, big plans that neither you will ever see that, nor your children, even grandchildren won't even see those things. So a person has such aspirations and he plans so much for the future, not realizing وَالْمَوْتُ يَطْلُبُهُ That mort is actually searching. Mort is right behind him. So he says, when I look at a person who has made so much of plans for the future, and he does not realize that mort is right behind him, this makes me laugh. And then, غَافِرٌ وَلَيْسَ بِمَغْفُولٍ عَنْهُ. A person is completely negligent of Allah Ta'ala. He's heedless. He is heedless of mort. Does not realize that mort is going to overtake him. And he does not realize وَبَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ الْقِيَامَةِ, that there is a day of reckoning. So a person is so ghafil. He says, I'm bewildered. And I look at this person, he makes me laugh that he is totally heedless of Allah Ta'ala, not realizing that one day he has to stand before Allah Ta'ala. He does not realize that maut is going to seize him. In one verse of the Quran, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Wherever you are, even though you are concealed, you are hiding, you are right in the midst of a huge fortified palace, lofty walls, even if you are right inside, maut will come and seize you. So this person is so heedless of maut, qiyamah, but he does not realize that maut is not heedless of him. Allah is not heedless of him. Allah will make maut come to him. And we mentioned last week, لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون. When the time is up, Malakul Maut does not come 1 second late. Precisely on time. And the third thing he says, ضاحك من أثمي. لا يدري الله ساخط عليه أمراض عنه. A person laughs with a gaping mouth. He laughs so loudly, wide, everybody can hear him. So such a laughter, person is laughing with a gaping mouth, wide mouth, but he does not know whether Allah is razi with him or Allah is naraz with him. You do not know what is your result, university, school, whatever it is. Allah save us, if somebody has to go for some scan or some test, blood test. Everybody is parishan. Make dua. Please make dua. Everything is clear. Now imagine just now the doctor will come out and give you a results. Let's be honest. How are we at that time? How are we behaving? Everybody is silent, making zikr, yasin, sharif, dua. We give sadaqat. We are silent. Will any person laugh at that time with a gaping mouth and scream and laugh? No. So Shariat allows us to laugh. There are times we mentioned in the Rabiul Awwal Bayan, Rasulullah laughed also. But his laughing was not like our laughing. His laughter was a broad smile. You can see his beautiful teeth. Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in. Once he was sitting, and somebody must have said something, and everybody started laughing. When Rasulullah emerged from his home, he was a Sahaba. They were different caliber, different level. The iman was very high. Immediately he reprimanded him. He reprimanded them. Immediately. And he said, you should laugh less and cry more. Cry out of the fear of Akhirat. What we want today is just entertainment, comfort. Allah gives us enjoyment, contentment, everything. But we want a life in which there's not much effort for the Akhirah to be made. We want complete leeway, freedom to do as we wish. So whole day we can laugh how much we want, do what we want, eat what we want. It is not different between us, believers and disbelievers. There are times when a person laughs. There's times when a person is sad. On a happy occasion of Eid, Shariat expects you to be happy. Time of nikah, sometime bichara, the bridegroom is so gripped with such fear, he's like shocked up when he sees the manana in front of him. Whole day he must be rehearsing, nakahtuha, wa qabiltuha, wa tazawwajtuha. People must be making him so scared. Previously they should make them read the kalimas also. From the fifth kalima, everybody is pareshan.
No, it's a happy occasion. You must smile, you must be happy.
There's a baby born in the family, it's a happy occasion. You passed your exams, happy occasion. You may shukar to Allah Ta'ala. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ Allah gives you a ni'mat, you must be happy about the ni'mat. Of course, you know, maut, mayyat, your father passed away, your mother passed away, then you don't sit and laugh. So there are occasions for everything. Sharia does not want a person to be gloomy all day, no. Neither does Sharia expect a person to be laughing the whole day. There are times when Rasulullah cried. There are times when he was sad. When Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala passed away, his son, his beloved son, Rasulullah sallam shed tears. Sahaba who was there, one of them said, Ya Rasulullah, ma hadha al-buka? What's this crying? How come you are crying? He says, this is rahmat that Allah has put into our hearts. This is mercy, natural mercy. If a father loses a child, he will shed those tears. I'm a human being. And my being a human being, my being a father, this is natural, tears. It's not that I'm a Nabi of Allah, I must not cry. Yes, we're not complaining against Allah Ta'ala that why he took away my child. In fact, at that time, the disbelievers were mocking Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You've got nobody to continue your progeny. And Rasulullah then addressed Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala, Ya Ibrahim, wa inna bi firaqika ya Ibrahim la mahzunun. Oh Ibrahim, we are so saddened with your departure. There are times when we will eat, there are times when we will fast, there are times when a person will sleep. Now we're going to another whole topic, but I think it's important. We should do that which Sharia wants from us. Let us not put difficulty upon ourselves. One Sahabi, then the incident, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't give me some nasihat. And Sahaba were genuine. I'm not saying brothers are not genuine, they ask for nasihat. But most of the times ourselves, we just ask the Maulana or some Buzruka Madhra, kuch nasihat farma dije. He gives some nasihat, we're not even interested in following any nasihat beside the one wazifa he'll give of barakat. That wazifa, nobody will forget. That one will listen properly. I said, just write it down for me. But nasihat, when the sahaba asked nasihat, they were genuine, they were sincere. In other words, give me such a nasihat that I will practice upon it. And I would cling and adhere to it. I won't miss it out, I won't discard it. So the sahabi comes and says, Rasulullah, he was fasting every day, making a lot of ibadat. Rasulullah called him, I see you keeping every day roza, don't do this. Keep only 3 days in a month. We call it Ayyamul Bid in Arabic. 13, 14, 15 every month. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I can do more. So okay, then you keep Mondays and Thursdays also. He said, I can do more. I want to keep every day. Muslim said, no, not every day. Then Rasulullah saw that this person is insisting. He said, okay, keep the Psalm of Dawud alayhi salatu salam. Keep one day roza, miss the next day. We're talking about Nafil, not Ramadan. For example, if you're keeping Monday, Tuesday you take a break, Wednesday again, then Thursday break, you carry on like that. It's called Suyamu Dawud. Dawud is to fast like this. In other words, 6 months of the year you're fasting and 6 months you're taking a break. So half your life you're fasting. This is the best of roza as a person can keep. So he took that. Then, as far as Quran Sharif Tilawat, he was reading more than one Quran in a couple of days. In 3 days, one whole Quran. Rasulullah told him, no, read. In a whole month, you complete one Quran. He said, I can do better. Finally, he was said to read. You know, we have the 7 manzils, 7 paras. Or he reads the manzil, 7 manzils. In other words, in a week, you finish your Quran. So he accepted that. Then tahajjud salat also. Lengthy rakat. He is to make door of what he is going to read in nafil, tahajjud at night, not Ramadan, not Taraweeh, by his wife during the day. So during the day, his wife will listen to his so many paras, which he'll recite in night tahajjud. So he was young, he could do all this. But when he grew older, he said, Ya laytani, if only I accepted the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, initially he told me, don't make it too difficult upon yourself, just keep these 3 days roza, just finish your tilawat of the Quran, the whole Quran in 1 month, and other advices Rasulullah gave him. He said, I made life difficult upon myself. Because it was difficult for him now. So what he used to do for fasting, if he kept on Monday and if Tuesday was a break, and Wednesday again used to keep roza, if he was unable because he was so old, so if he took a break on Wednesday, then he would count that one day now I owe. So in other words, when he was fasting again, then keep 2 days in a row fast, or 2-3 days in a row again, then he gained some strength. And he would say, if only I accepted the rukhsat of Rasulullah. Nonetheless, we digress quite a bit. Allah has made deen very easy for us. Yes, there are some time when there are difficulties. Going for hajj is not an easy ibadat. Namaz we are used to. Those of us who are so lazy, we can't keep so much nafil like others keep. MashaAllah, there are so many brothers maybe sitting here also. Mondays and Thursdays they keep roza. It's so embarrassing sometime. There was some brothers who came and it was a Monday or Thursday. So I offered them something to drink. Nobody is taking it. I'm insisting. No, nothing to feel shy. You don't have to pay anything. Then they were reluctant. They said, Mona, we're fasting today. I realized it was Monday. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made deen easy for us. There are times when we have to exert ourselves, but it's not the whole life. Yes, what we have to exert, put pressure is on our nafs. And stay away from all those things that makes Allah ta'ala naraz with us. Stay away totally. Whatever Allah has said, this is no good for you, stay away from it. That is the real test. And of course we will make ibadat. If Allah has given us the strength to read abundant Quran, read. If Allah has given us strength for tahajjud, awabin, chash, ishraq, very good. So coming back to our topic, so Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu says that these 3 things, and I look at it, makes me laugh. And I thought, why is this person behaving in this way? He should realize maut is right behind him. He should realize that Allah is watching him. Realizes the qiyamah that's going to take place. He does not know what is going to be his condition. I was reading Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. What a great sahabi. For 4 years he clung onto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Literally clung onto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go, Sayyidina Abu Huraira is behind. Durtu haythu dara. I used to go wherever he used to go, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever food he would give me, I would eat. There were times when there was no food for him, you know the incidents, he should fall unconscious. So he says, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when he was passing away, he began to cry. Sahaba, those of his family people said, what are you crying for at this moment? You were a sahabi. You had the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are you crying for? Why are you so overwhelmed? Gripped with fear. Why are you so anxious? What's happening? He says that this safar, akhirat safar, was a very long safar. I did not carry along with me enough provisions. In other words, this is humility. This provisions meaning a'mal salihah. This hill was very steep. I've come to this point now. And I'm going to descend. I climbed this hill, and now I'm going to come the other side of the mountain. But I did not know whether I'll be commanded towards Jannat or Jahannam. That's making me cry. The 3 things that made Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu cry, he says, Firaqul Ahibba, subhanAllah. He says, the mouth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba. The mouth of my beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that makes, give me such pain. causes me such grief every time I think of my master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the other sahaba who passed away before Sayyidina Abu Huraira. Firaqul ahibba. They were my bosom friends, my ahibba. My beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My companions. They left me. So he would miss them. And he would cry. The second in Hawlul Matla', yani Nuzul Maut, he says, this descending of Maut, the coming down of Maut, the descension of Maut upon me makes me cry. And then he says, وَالثَّارِثُ وَالْوُقُوفُ بَيْنَ يَدِي اللَّهِ. Standing before my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's making me worried, I'm crying. I do not know what is going to be my fate, what is going to be my condition. So my respected brothers and elders and our mothers listening at home over the receiver or the audio streaming. What is the maqsad of this? Rasulullah mentioned, kafa bil mawti wa'idha. The best nasihat, best bayan you can get, best wa'az, is the wa'az of maut. In other words, he said, kafa bil mawti wa'idha. A person's demise, person leaving this world, somebody passed away, you look at the board, all of us, the moment we enter the masjid, most of us, we look towards the left hand side, two things we look for, janaza and nikah. Janaza and nikah. And Ajib, although sometimes we receive the message before that, you still come to the masjid, you still look at the janaza, that's good. The board of janaza is very good. It reminds us one day, it will be written there, that your janaza is also there. But one person, a lot of masti in him. So he was running amok with his friend. Now he didn't think it was going to be such a big thing. So he went and wrote on the masjid board, janaza so and so, he put everything. Now innocently, the person whose janaza he put, he came to the masjid. He's looking at the board, so and so passed away, addressed everything. He got a shock that this is my janaza. That person had supposed to put it for a little while and erase it, but he forgot about it. Nonetheless, janaza. Ulama have written that for us to remember maut, like how we have in our home, we decorate with many, many sayings. Put one saying about maut. It's a reality. Maut is going to overtake us one day. So, Shaqiq bin Ibrahim, rahmatullahi alayhi, says that I have spoken to many people, my friends, my disciples, my students. But they're not taking heed of what I'm saying. They're opposing me. I'm saying something, but their actions is going contrary to what I'm preaching and teaching them. It's annahum qalu, they say, inna abidun lillahi ta'ala. We are the slaves of Allah. Wa ya'maluna amal al-ahrar. But the actions they are producing are that not of slaves, of free people. There's a difference between a slave and a free man. A free person, he's the master. He's not under somebody's bondage. But he commands the slave who is under his bondage. The slave has to listen to the master. The slave cannot behave like a free person. So he says, people say that we are the slaves of Allah. But they do not carry on and conduct themselves as slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, people say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَفِيلٌ لِأَرْزَاقِنَا. Allah has taken it upon Himself. Allah has guaranteed us our rozi. We also say the same thing. Come, we ask, how's mashallah, shukr. Allah is the provider. But immediately after that, وَلَا تَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَّا مَعَ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Our hearts are not content. We're saying Allah is the provider, but there is so much of greed in our hearts that with whatever little we have been provided with, we are not content. So in reality, we are opposing those statements that we say. Wasalith, he says, people say, إِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Akhirat is better than dunya. وَهُمْ يَجْمَعُونَ الْمَالَ لِلدُّنْيَا. But they are only gathering and amassing wealth for dunya. And وَيَجْمَعُونَ الذُّنُوبَ لِلْآخِرَةِ. They are amassing sins for the akhirat. Instead of gathering amal salih of akhirat, what are we doing? We are stacking up gunas upon gunas upon gunas, for which we'll be responsible in hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala save us. Hatim al-Asam rahmatullahi alayhi says, he says beautifully, he says, arba'atun la ya'rifu qadraha illa arba'ah. There are four things that only four types of people will really appreciate. These four things. Before I give his four things, I think the one thing that he hasn't mentioned is a wife after husband passes away. Only she'll know the qeemat of the husband. The ladies will see, and even the husband only realize when the wife is gone. So both ways. Any case, what did he say? Four things. He said, قَدْرُ الشَّبَابُ لَا يَعْرِفُهُ إِلَّا الشُّيُوخُ. Only the old person, the elderly one, he understands and he appreciates the youth. He appreciates youth. When he was young, or youthhood, an elderly person realized the qeemah, the value, the qadr, the value of being a young person. A youngster doesn't realize this. He'll only realize this when he becomes old. We all do the same. Therefore, you'll see the father reprimanding the child. And you'll think, but this father, when he was young, he was also a scallop. He was so naughty himself, and he used to misbehave in the class, he used to do this and do that. But now he realized. He realizes his mistake, and he does not want his beloved child to go the same route. What a person can do in his youth, one of our mashayikh has mentioned, I think we mentioned one of the majlises, that whilst a person is young, and especially nafil, go all out and bring nafil in your life. Why? When you grow old, you get sick, you get tired, you get weak, you don't have the strength. So you're unable to do all those things that you used to do in your youth or in your good health. So even though you are unable to perform those nafil actions in your old age, but because you were regular with it in your youth, for years you continued that nafil practices, whatever it was, awabin, tahajjud, whatever it was, tilawat of the Quran, in abundance, zikr. Because you are old and you are unable, you're not fit, Allah Ta'ala still gives you the thawab for it. Allah Ta'ala still gives you the reward for it. So he says, only an elderly person will value youth. And he says, وَقَدْرُ الْعَافِيَةِ لَا يَعْرِفُ إِلَّا أَهْلُ الْبَلَىٰ. Afiyat, safety, from all types of bala, musibat, calamity, diseases, pain, suffering. Person is safe from all this. He always make dua for afiyat, 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 afiyat. Only a person who is in bala, he's going through some pain, some misery, some hardship, some difficulty, whether it's financial, whether it's social, whether it's domestic, whether it's some disease, some sickness, some illness, whatever it may be. He is going through a difficult patch in his life. He relishes and he appreciates the value of being free from all pain and misery and suffering. He knows what is to be having afiyat. And وَقَدْرُ الصِّحَةَ لَا يَعْرِفُ إِلَّا الْمَرْضَى. A sick person, he appreciates good health. And we all have good health, alhamdulillah. But as a person in hospital, what his desire? If only I get better, man. Make sure I can get better quickly. So if we are, we've got good health, we're not making qadr, we're not appreciating the value of being, or having good health. And he says, وَقَدْرُ الْحَيَاةِ لَا يَعْرِفُهُ إِلَّا الْمَوْتَى. It's only the dead ones, the deceased, they appreciate what life was in this world. Why? Because now they know there's no chance for any amal they can do. Nothing. It's too late. No amal is salih after you pass away. So they wish they could be returned into this world to do what? لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا لِمَا تَرَكْتُ. If only I could do good actions, come back. Ya Allah, please, one more chance. Allah says, Allah, too late. May Allah give us the qadr of all these things that we have mentioned, so that we become good people. Yes, we make mistakes, we have faults, we commit some sin, make tawbah, istighfar. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when he explained the reality of maut, and the reality of life in this world. And what are we doing in this world? Last week we mentioned a few couplets also. Person is just spending all his energy, all his skill, all his intelligence, only for dunya. Again, I'm going to reiterate, to build a home, have a car, all that is permissible. Nothing wrong with that. But to spend all your time, all your energy, every second you got, it's only for dunya. What is the haqiqat of dunya? We all know, dunya is going to come to an end, it will perish, be destroyed. Akhirat is forever. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala in a beautiful couplet, what does he say? لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها إلا التي كان قبل الموت بانيها. He says, there is no home for a person after mort in which he will reside except that home that he built before he passed away. After you pass away, you can't build your home. It's that home you will reside in after you pass away, towards which you sent in this world. So your home of akhirat, you're building it in this dunya. لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها إلا التي كان قبل الموت بانيها فإن بنا بخير طاب مسكنه وإن بناها بشر خاب بانيها. If you build this home بخير, with good deeds, then طاب مسكنه, then this person, his abode will be beautiful. He'll be in Jannah, in paradise. وَإِن بَنَاهَا بِشَرٍ. If you build this home of the Akhirat by doing bad deeds, خَابَ بَانِيهَا, then the builder of this home is going to be in utter ruins, in loss. أَمْوَالُنَا لِذَوِي الْمِيرَاثِ نَجْمَعُهَا وَدُورُنَا لِخَرَابِ الْمَوْتِ نَبْنِيهَا. All our wealth, we're gathering it for who? For our heirs. And they, when they grow up, they will gather it for their heirs. It carries on like this. وَدُورُنَا, the homes that we have built, the palatial homes, لِخَرَابِ الْمَوْتِنَا نَبْنِيهَا. We have built it for what? Till the destruction. Or till when maut comes. For kharab, kharab means destruction. In other words, maut will destroy all this. Khalas, the moment maut comes, those homes, those cars, that wealth, the treasures, the huplang money, whatever jewelry we had, everything, nothing will accompany us into that qabr at all. فَعْمَلْ لِدَارٍ غَدًا رِضْوَانٌ خَازِنُهَا أَلْجَارُ أَحْمَدُ وَالرَّحْمَانُ بَانِيهَا. How beautifully he says. He says, فَعْمَلْ, therefore, make amal, perform good deeds, لِدَارٍ, for that home, that abode, غَدًا, tomorrow, what? رِضْوَانٌ خَازِنُهَا. Ridwan, the angel of paradise, he'll be the doorkeeper of paradise welcoming you. Allahu Akbar. Al-Jaru Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And your neighbor will be who? Ahmad, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your neighbor in Jannat. Ridwan is the khazin, that angel who will welcome you, the doorkeeper, the gatekeeper of Jannat. And you'll have the neighborhood, or you'll be the neighbor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wal-Rahmanu baniha. And that Jannat Allah ta'ala built it. قصورها ذهب والمسك طينتها والزعفران حشيش نابت فيها. He says, the palaces of Jannat, gold. The gold of this dunya, no matter how many carats it may be, wallah, can never be equivalent to one small fraction of the gold of akhirat. The glitter on that gold is totally different. والمسك طينتها, misk, musk, the fragrant musk. Between that one gold brick and one silver brick, the cement is musk, fragrant musk. وَالزَّعْفَرَانُ حَشِيشٌ نَابِتٌ فِيهَا. The grass there is saffron, which is growing. So smooth, so beautiful. There's only fragrance in Jannah. So this was the couplet of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, showing us haqiqat of dunya. We will gather until maut comes and everything becomes kharab, finish. Everything destroyed. We mentioned last week of Abdullah bin Sayyidina Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala. Just to refresh ourselves. When he was passing away, his son comes, Abdullah, oh my father, you should see, when people are passing away, they have an aql, they have a lisan. Why don't they just give us a glimpse of maut before they pass away, so we know what maut is? Now you are passing me, you tell us. And remember what he said? He says, كَأَنَّ عَلَىٰ كَتِفَيَّ جَبَلَ رَضْوَىٰ. It is as though the huge mountains are placed on my shoulders. It is as though my belly has been filled and stuffed with very thorny trees. And it is as though my ruh is being pushed through the eye of a needle. It's as though the sky has collapsed onto the earth and I am trapped between the two. It is mentioned, but you know the great Sahabi of Rasulullah. He just gave us a glimpse of maut. Allah Ta'ala gave them basharat in dunya. They were radiallahu anhum radu'an. So his son comes to him and gives the father himmat, courage. When he sees the father shedding tears, Ya Aba, Ama aslamta, O my father, you brought Islam, isn't it? Didn't you bring Islam? Didn't you bring Iman? Ama hajarta, didn't you make hijrat? Amma wallaka Rasulullah sallallahu wilayata kada ala al-jish. Did not Rasulullah make you the Amir of certain army? You were the conqueror of Egypt. Amma fatahta Misr. You did this, you did that. You had such honor, such dignities. Now, what's the problem? فَحَوَّلَ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى الْحَائِطِ. The father turns his face away towards the wall. ثُمَّ بَكَى طَوِيلًا. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu is crying. Then he turns his face again to the people. He says, listen, I have gone through three stages in my life. Three stages. First stage, when I was a disbeliever. كنت في الجاهلية. لا أعرف الإسلام. When I was a jahil, disbeliever, did not know Islam. He says, the person who was most hated in my eyes was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَكَانَ أَبْغَضَ النَّاسِ إِلَيَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. وَكَانَ أَبْغَضُ النَّاسِ إِلَيَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Rasulullah was the most hated. If I had to pass away in that condition, I would have been doomed. لَكُنْتُ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. Definitely guaranteed Jahannam. He says, ثُمَّ أَسْلَمْتُ. Then I brought Iman. Accepted Islam. فَقَدِمْتُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. I came to Medina. I made hijrat. Then Rasulullah calls me to pledge allegiance, to take bayat. He says, فَلَمَّا بَسَطَ يَدَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِيُبَايِعَنِي. Imagine, Rasulullah put his hands forward so I could take bayat to him. I was about to take bayat, put my hands forward. قَبَضْتُ يَدَيَّ. I withdrew my hands. I pulled my hands back. فَقَالَ مَا لَكَ يَا عَمْرِي. Rasulullah asked, Umar, what happened? Oh, Umar, what's the matter? قُلْتُ أَشْتَرِتْ. Ya Rasulullah, before I take bayat, I want to make one condition. He said, أَشْتَرِتُ مَاذَا. What condition? What, you're taking bayat now? What condition you want to make? He says, أَشْتَرِتُ أَيْ يَغْفِرَ لِي رَبِّي ذَنْبِي. A condition that my Allah must forgive all my sins. If this condition is met, Allah, if I get guarantee Allah is going to wipe out all my sins, I'm taking bayat now. فَدَبَسَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ smiled. وَقَال, أَمَا تَدْرِي يَا عَمَرْ. Oh, Amr, don't you know أَنَّ التَّوْبَةَ تَجُبُّ مَا قَبْلَهَا. Tawbah is such that it obliterates all the sins of the past. Whatever guna you made, when a person makes sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala wipes out all those sins. Finish. Erased, effaced, obliterated, wiped out, rubbed off. وَأَنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ يَهْدِمُ مَا قَبْلَهُ. Tawbah wipes out all sins. And when a person accepts Islam, the moment he accepts Islam, all the sins of his past, all forgiven. So there's no need now for you to make conditions. قَالَ فَأَسْلَمْتُ. I accepted Islam. I took bayat to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, فَوَاللَّهِ Allah's qasam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then became the most dearest person to me. He became the dearest person to me. He became the most beloved to me. Just now, previously, Jahiliyyah, he was the most hated. Now, I love Rasulullah most dearly. He says, I loved him so dearly. I was so close to Rasulullah said, this is Sahaba Ikram. Wallahi law sa'altumuni al-an an asifahu mastata'at. You ask me to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now, Allah's qasam, I would not be able to describe his features to you. Why? لأني ما كنت أملأ عيني منه إجلالا له غيبة منه. I had so much of respect, so much of respect, so much of respect for my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We just had a glimpse of him, but we could never stare at him. We could never raise and stare at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We could never raise our eyes out of respect for him, إجلالا له. And this was the awe Rasul had. The Sahaba loved him dearly. Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala with the most respect. But they had that himmat and they would look at Rasulullah directly in his face. Other Sahaba would look down. So he says, you ask me to describe him, I will not be able to give you a detailed description. Yes, in Shamail there are two or three Sahaba who give detailed description. You won't find all the Sahaba, they knew what Rasulullah looked like. But detailed description they did not give. They said, because we did not sit and stay at every pore of Rasulullah. We would just look at him and look down immediately. But he says that was the best time of my life. فَلُوْ مُتُّ عَلَىٰ تِلْكَ الْحَالَىٰ If I had to pass away in that condition, that رَجَوْتُ I would have had high hopes أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ That I would have been an inmate of Jannah. That means in the time of Rasulullah. But that time has passed. Elapsed. ثُمَّ تَخَلَّفْتُ My Rasulullah left this world, I'm still remaining behind. And then he says, dunya began to play with us. Now for us to understand dunya playing with Sahaba, please brothers, that was not like how we play with dunya, and how dunya plays with us from the morning right till the evening, in our sleep also is dunya, dunya, dunya. A little bit dunya that they would attain, immediately Sahaba would become so gripped with fear, worry, anxious. But this was his humility. He's saying we became a bit engrossed with dunya. We became preoccupied with dunya. He says, now, Allah's qasam, I do not know. Whether أَيُؤْمَرُ بِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ يُؤْمَرُ بِي إِلَى النَّارِ I don't know what the condition will be. Will I be commanded to go Jannat or Jahannam? And that is why I'm crying. So these were the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. In the time of maut, they would cry. Why? He says, we do not know what is going to be our fate now in the Akhirat. When Mu'adh radiallahu anhu passing away, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, constantly asking his son, is it already Fajr? Already Fajr? Already Fajr? It was still early. His concern was Fajr Salat. It was not Masjid Salat. And then he tells his son, I seek protection in Allah from such a morning where the command will be given, then you must go to Jahannam. He doesn't want to pass away in the condition that Allah command me, I must go to Jannat. And he says, oh my son, you know very well that I did not have love, or I did not love this worldly life, I did not desire for living in this world for the sake of just planting trees, digging up rivers, and building homes. In other words, I did not desire to live in this world for attaining dunya, or building up this dunya, but I desire to live in this world that I may have a long life in this world for three things. لِسُيَامِ الْحَوَاجِرِ To keep roza, to fast during the summer months and summer days when it's extremely hot. Makkah, Medina heat, 40 degrees, 45 degrees, goes even more higher. So it must be very, very hot. The heat must be intense. In those days I must keep roza, I must be thirsty for the sake of my Allah and get such reward. So if I am given opportunity in this world to live longer, it's for this reason, that I may keep roza and remain thirsty for long periods of time in a fasting condition. And وَلِقِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ And so that I may stand up before my Allah in tahajjud and be engrossed in long, lengthy rak'ats at night. So if I'm given an opportunity to live in this world for a long period, it's for this reason also. And he says, وَلِمُزَاحَمَةِ الْعُلَمَاء بِرُكَبِ فِي حِلَقِ ذِكْرِ. So that I may sit in the company of ulama, in the gatherings of dhikr, hilaqi dhikr, where Allah Ta'ala's name is taken, where the dhikr of Allah is made, where deen is imparted. So I may sit on my knees and I may benefit from what the ulama and mashayikh are teaching me. So if I'm given a chance to learn deen knowledge, and if I'm granted a longer life, it is for these reasons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of becoming and having those tamanna and aspirations what sahaba had and the salaf salihin. You see why? Because they had the haqiqat of akhirat in front of them. The haqiqat of maut always dangling in front of them. Harun al-Rashid, we know he was a great king, he was a pious king. When he was passing away, lamma hadratul wafat, he stood up and in front of him his entire army. He looked left to right, examined his army. فَنَظَرَ إِلَى الْجَيْشِ وَقَالَ. How beautiful, what a beautiful statement of his. He says, يَا مَنْ لَا يَزُولُ مُلْكُهُ إِرْحَمْ مَنْ زَالَ مُلْكُهُ. O Allah, O that mighty being, O that Zat, whose kingdom never perishes, whose power, whose army never perishes, have mercy today on Harun al-Rashid, whose kingdom is perishing now. His army means nothing. He's now leaving his army. He's leaving his palace. He's leaving everything. All this is going to come to an end now. But oh Allah, your kingdom never comes to any end. Your kingdom is everlasting. So you have Raham on this king of this dunya, Harun al-Rashid today, because he's leaving this world. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi. And Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi, ulama have mentioned, he is known as Umar al-Thani. The second Umar, first Umar, Umar radiallahu anhu, Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sahabi of Rasulullah, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah, another Sahabi. But he comes in the progeny of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. His name is also Umar. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah, extremely, extremely pious. Very pious. Allah had blessed him with dunya as well, but he lived such a simple life. It is mentioned when he is passing away, he calls his wife Fatima. He says, kindly leave this room. Exit from this room. Because I can see such people coming. Laysu bi insin wala jin. They're not insan, not jinnah. Referring to angels. So you should now go away from here. And these angels are now coming. Angels of rahmat before him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Inna alladhina qalu rabbun Allah. Those who say Allah is our Rabb. And they are firm on this. Mustaqamu. They are steadfast on deen. They have the azmat of Allah, the kibriya of Allah, the yaqeen of Allah in their heart. And they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have istiqamat in their life. At the time of their maut, tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika. Angels of mercy come down. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu. Don't fear of what's coming in front. Don't worry about what you're leaving behind. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. For you is the glad tidings of Jannah. Which you have were promised in this dunya. Dunya where the Quran, Jannah like this, Jannah, Jannah. Now you're going to see the Jannah. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. These angels sent by Allah. These angels say, don't worry, we are your friends, we are your awliya. Your walis, your friends, we will be around you. We will surround you. No harm will come to you. You're a VIP member now. Whatever your heart's desire in Jannat, you will get. Whatever dua, whatever you desire, whatever your tamanna is, you hardly even barely ask for it, and immediately you get it. Just a bird flying, you desire to eat that bird, it comes automatically onto your platter. It speaks to you, addresses you, Ya Wali Allah, oh friend of Allah, eat me. How do you want me? You want me bright, roasted, fried, by day, no question, 1000% halal. 1000% halal. How you want me? Bride, fried, roasted, whichever way you want me. There is so much Allah has kept for the people who who just obey Him. We make mistakes, tawbah, istighfar, again, rudu ilallah, turn to Allah, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before this maut, before Sakrat takes us, grips us, what we should do? Always remember maut, remember. Why when a person will remember maut, then the reality of maut comes into him, and then you will practice for the life after death. Rasulullah said, you know who's the intelligent person? Al-Qayyis, one riwayat, Akyasul Akyas. Now we see the most clever, the most cleverest person, most intelligent person, most intelligent person. That person who suppresses his desires, his nafs, and he practices for the life of the hereafter. He makes that jannat we spoke about, one brick of gold, one brick of silver, the cement is fragrant musk, and the palaces and the rivers and the hoods and everything, he prepares for that hereafter in this dunya, in this temporary dunya, by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maymun bin Mahran, he was a zahid, he was an abid, he was an alim. Okay, we don't have to do this. And most of us don't even have homes like that. But he had a qabr dug in his home. No hafara qabran. What is the maqsad of this? Not when he passes, he will be buried there. No. فَكَانَ يَنْزِلُ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ فِي الْقَبْرِ. At night, all the lights are off. Now he would go down into the qabr. And go down and he would وَوَيَبْكِي, cry. وَيَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ, recite Qur'an inside there. ثُمَّ يَخْرُجْ. That was, he should do that to get some feeling of what qabr will be like, all alone, no family, nothing, it's dark. He would cry for long, then he would come out, ويقول, ah, ya Maymun, addressing himself, oh Maymun, قَدْ عُدْتَ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا, you came back into the dunya, فَعَمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, as though you were passed away, you went to the qabr, you got one chance now, you came back to dunya, quickly do some good righteous actions, so when you go back inside forever, then you'll be ready and prepared. So first thing, you must remember maut in abundance. I mentioned last week, أَكْثِرُ ذِكْرَ هَذِهِ اللَّذَّاتِ, the terminator of all pleasures. Remember death in abundance. So we'll remember maut. And second thing, ponder over the ayats of Qur'an. Qur'an Sharif. It's just unfortunate that we don't know the meaning of the verses of the Qur'an. The last fazal, when we do Qur'an Sharif at the madrasa, and look at the verses, sometimes we are stuck. Not because we don't know the meaning. They have such an effect. We just need to ponder. Ajeeb. How Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. And what has Allah mentioned. In such an eloquent manner Allah has mentioned. How profound the meaning is. Allah forgive us. We're not making amal. Allah give us tawfiq of making amal. But sahaba ikram, when they recite one verse. And the salaf salihin. One small verses. Would make them cry for hours. Their hearts have become so soft. And the third thing is, do not have long aspirations. Qisarul amal. Make our aspirations, our desires, our longings, our future investments, curtail it. Plan for now, near future. For the dunya, whatever, today, tomorrow, what you can do. But for a real future, the far future of the akhirah, we don't know how far it's going to be. In reality, that's the near future. In reality, that's the near future. So prepare for that akhirah. Prepare for that akhirah. Imagine one person says, we're going on a journey. All of us go on a journey. And mashallah, our wives, they prepare some nice food for us, patkos. And everybody is taking their food and everything with them. Now we come to a certain place and everybody, now we're going to rest. We have a break. Everybody takes out their samosas, takes out the pies, whatever it is. The sarkhan is laid. Or every person is eating by himself. Whatever food he's got, he's busy partaking of whatever his wife sent, his favorite. This man, poor fellow, his wife sent nothing for him. He's looking that side, this side, everybody, samosa smell coming, nobody offering him. Maybe dunya, somebody might offer him one, two samosa, but he comes around and eat with us. But how does the person feel? He feels so embarrassed. He opens his bag, he sees no food. His clothing is there, but no food. And he's hungry. And everybody else is busy digging into their boxes and they're eating. Everybody is busy. Like imagine Ramadan time, our masjid, mashallah, but you go to some poor areas and each person just got one date and he's eating and you got nothing, no date, looking left, right, you're feeling embarrassed. You stand up quietly just to look for some water to drink. Now imagine we do this and we go to the akhirah, then everybody is now opening whatever Allah Ta'ala has got for them. The treasures because of the amal. And we did not prepare for the akhirah, we got nothing. Our box is empty. How does the person feel? So let us prepare for the akhirah. Prepare for the akhirah. Remember maut. Remember maut. That's why we did janazah. That's why there's so much of thawab for attending the janazah and even going to Qabristan. Okay, at least we come for the janazah. Qabristan, mashallah, we should go. But if we cannot go, for attending the janazah, you get the thawab equivalent to Mount Uhud. The hadith mentioned one qirat. Not qirat of Quran. Qirat of the Ta'. Qirat. You get one qirat. Now, ulama have given different explanation what qirat actually means. Qirat means mountain. Some ulama have said like Mount Uhud in size. You attended the janazah of some person, Muslim brother, pastor, you came for the janazah. You're getting sawab equivalent to your whole mountain. If you went to the qabristan, falahu qiratan. Two qirat, two mountains full of sawab. One for coming to the janazah and one is going to the qabristan. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Just like how our time is up for azan, that time will be up from dunya and we have to go to the akhirat. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal in the remaining days of our life. Such amal that Allah Ta'ala must be pleased with us and we can reach Allah Ta'ala in the condition Allah Ta'ala is most pleased. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal, inshallah. We'll continue next week, inshallah. There are very many interesting things and ahadith and riwayats and narration, incidents coming, all related to moth and how different people passed away. And then the honor and dignity, we mentioned when the angels come to take the ruh, the honor and dignity when this person is now draped with his kafan and the ghusl is taking place, what happens? And when he's placed in the qabr, what happens? Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanakallah.